It's time to lift him up a little more. Not gonna ever stop. Let's give him some praise. Lift our hands and worship him together. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, let's do it some more. Let's give him everything we've got. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just remain standing. Feel like preaching tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. It is a privilege to stand here in this pulpit again. And I thank those who asked me to speak. I try to always be ready. I think that's what the Bible tells us to do. And I appreciate this church, as I said last week. I love all of you. Thank you for your patience with us and your kindness to us. And I have always wanted to preach on one word, and I haven't ever done it. So we'll just see if this works tonight, okay? And that word is suddenly. Suddenly. How many of you want God to work suddenly? Hallelujah. Now I'm going to preach to you my heart this evening. And I'm going to say that I know that there are some who are continuing to wrestle with physical problems in your life. And I am not going to say that, you know, you're at fault, or I don't want to put anybody on a guilt trip thinking I've messed things up myself, but I just want to encourage all of us to be faithful. Everybody in the house to be faithful. Amen. Amen. So I want to turn your attention to Acts chapter 2, and I'll read these scriptures. Very, very familiar scriptures. And in fact, even though I've been wanting to preach on this subject for a long time, I was shocked when I saw something here in all of my years I had not seen before. Never noticed it. So I want to try to awaken us to it's possible for God to suddenly move if we do our part. Hallelujah. You've probably already seen, word suddenly is not there in that verse, but the next verse it is. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Say it with me. And suddenly, say it again, and suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. That's what we like, isn't it? We like a sound from heaven. Hallelujah. As of a rushing mighty wind. My source books tell me that was not just a high wind. That was like a tornado. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now I want you to underline or highlight that word suddenly if you're in your Bible. And we're going to talk about that tonight. But before we do, I want to read a couple more verses, and then we'll pray. Because if God doesn't anoint us, we won't get anything out of this. Right? Amen. Look at the last verses of Acts 2, 46 and 47. Notice the faithfulness that's talked about here. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. That's faithful. And breaking bread from house to house. That's faithful. They'd eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. That's faithful. praising God and having favor with all the people. Read the last part of that with me. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's ask God to bless. God, you're in the house already tonight. We know you're here. We feel your presence. We thank you for being here. I pray, oh God, for a special touch of anointing this evening. You know exactly what we need. And I pray that you would anoint each one of us with what we need in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now we know that our powerful God never needs to wait for anyone. He can and does do anything he wants to do, anywhere he wants to do it, anytime he wants to do it. And he has the power to do it suddenly. And being as impatient as most of us are in this rush, in the rush and hustle of our modern world, we really love to see God do things suddenly. We want it yesterday, in fact. At least right now. Amen. We all know the meaning of suddenly, but let me refresh your memory. It means happening quickly and without warning, causing surprise. That's the way we want God to work. We love for God to work suddenly. But let me warn you, there are some suddenlies we do not want. Bible speaks to us of sudden terror, sudden ruin, sudden destruction, sudden death, and even sudden disaster. And none of us want that. Amen? But just a casual reading of the news these days shows us just how prevalent those things still are. And I like to call them bad suddenlies. And yes, bad suddenly still happen all around us, illustrated by car wrecks and random shootings and heart attacks and strokes and other diseases. All the bad stuff that happens all too often and all too quickly that are bad suddenlies. Now, we don't want that. Didn't get the first amen on that, but we don't. But we also remember some good suddenlies. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, Malachi the prophet tells us in the third chapter, in the first verse, the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And we all know that that was fulfilled in the New Testament with the first coming of Jesus Christ. And that was a good suddenly. And we all know we would all like to see a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost, such as our text tells us about. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. How many of you would like to see an all-soul outpouring of the Holy Ghost? I want to stretch my faith a little bit. If he ever did it, and he did it right here, he'll do it again. He can do it again. He wants to do it again. Amen. What a great suddenly. Amen. Amen. Now, there's also a time when Saul was on the road to Damascus in Acts 9, 3, and 4. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and there it is, suddenly. There shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And you know the story. And we can look a little farther to Acts 16, verses 25 and 26. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, sang praises unto God. The prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. So, what is it that brings about the differences in the sudden? Bottom line is this: God is faithful to his people, and he always keeps his word. Is there anybody in the building that believes that? Hallelujah. God is faithful. God always makes good, listen, on all his promises. He never, ever breaks his covenant. Whatever you may say or think about God, he is the perfect example of faithfulness. We all know how faithful our God is. That's not now nor ever has been the question. But the question tonight always is this. In light of God's consistent faithfulness to us, how faithful are we, you and me, to our always faithful God? In the case of the Old Testament history of God's people Israel, they had their own bunch of bad suddenlies. So what brought about those bad suddenlies in their history, all those judgments of God to Israel? Didn't they actually happen because of their unfaithfulness to him? Yes, of course they did. So let's turn this around just a little bit. If the bad suddenlies often happen because of unfaithfulness to God, then all of our good suddenlies must also require our consistent faithfulness to God. That make sense? Amen. We would all like to think the good suddenlies just happen. That's what we prefer to think, that they're almost accidental. That good suddenlies come to us without cause and effect, without any effort on our part. That we have really nothing to do with them, nothing to do about them. But I'm assuring you tonight, that's just not true. There is a long list in God's Word, starting way back in early Genesis, telling his people, if you will, then I will. He says it over and over, and I'm not going down that road because it's a long road, and I'm trying to get to my subject tonight. You see, they come directly out of our submission and our consistent faithfulness to our great God. Are you beginning to get the point tonight? Our God is looking to us for faithfulness. Amen. And everybody in the house has been down the road when doubt rises in our lives and we can just throw our hands up and say, oh, nothing I can do. It's not going to work out. And so God is looking for faithfulness. If he can find somebody that will stand on his faith and say, yes, God can do it, and yes, God will do it if I am faithfulness. Lift our hands and give him praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I tell you, our faithfulness to God opens heaven's doors for God to suddenly send us his blessings. Amen. Before I go any farther, I want to just point our attention to Psalm 147 that further describes God's special provision. God's special provision and protection for his people, his faithful people. Now let me just broaden this out to include all earth's people. Let me emphasize God's personal role in taking care of and providing for all the people of the world. And I'm going to read this verse by verse, but I'm going to put God so that it'll be a little more understandable in the place of his pronoun to emphasize what God does for us. In other words, in Psalm 147, I'm going to insert God where there is maybe a Lord or he or who or whatever. And I want you to go with me here. And if you can't keep up with what I'm reading, I'd like for you to just close your eyes and let the Spirit of God wash over you, because I am reading to you about what God wants to do for you and what he does for all of us. Amen. Amen. Psalm 147, 1, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and his praise is comely. The Lord God doth build up Jerusalem. He, God, gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. God heals the broken in heart. God binds up their wounds. God tells the number of the stars. God calls them all by their names. Our Lord God, great is our Lord God and of great power. God's understanding is infinite. God lifted up the meek. God casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise unto the harp unto our God. Anybody want to praise a little bit? Let's praise him. He's taking care of us. Amen. He goes on to say, God maketh the grass to grow upon the mountains. God giveth to the beast his food. God gives to the young ravens which cry. God delighteth not in the strength of the horse. God taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. God taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. God has strengthened the bars of thy gates. God has blessed thy children within thee. God maketh peace in thy borders. God filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. God sends forth his commandment upon the earth. God's word runneth very swiftly. God gives the snow like wool. God scatters the hoarfrost like ashes. God casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? God sendeth out his word and melteth them. God causeth his wind to blow and the waters to flow. God showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. God hath not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. Let's give him some praise here. Let's worship him. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Just let me reinforce this and tell you that whatever you have in your life, whatever you can say is yours, whatever has been given to you, the money you've earned, the possession you've gathered, the family you have, the job you have, God did it for you. You didn't do a blessed thing. He did it for you. Let's give him some praise for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let there be a resounding praise. Worship for him. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, in going down that list of God's abilities and provisions for people and knowing what's happening, I think we can all quickly agree that there's nothing, nothing, nothing like the faithfulness of our God. Amen. So let's agree that God's faithfulness must become our example for faithfulness. If we want him to take care of us, we need to take care of him. Amen. Don't get up in the morning and take off down the street thinking you're doing what you're doing in yourself. You are doing it because God has given you the opportunity to do it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, if you want to experience and enjoy those good suddenness, you and I must stay faithful to him. Amen. We must remember Bethlehem, Joseph and Mary at the birth of Jesus in Luke 2, 13 and 14. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And we all well know that the appearance of angels at that time was a good suddenly. Amen. What we don't know is just how faith, or may not think about, we know it, but we don't think about how faithful this young couple has been at that time before they enjoyed that good suddenly. Matthew 1:18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or secretly. And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, having grown up on a farm near a small town in Louisiana, I know a little something about the cynics and the skeptics and the gossips in those small towns who spend their time passing around their ideas about what's going on in the personal lives of the townspeople in the area of immorality and disobedience. I can't tell you because the Bible doesn't tell us all of that about Joseph and Mary, but these few verses don't go into much detail. They just pass quickly over Mary's 9 months of trying to explain to her family and friends her supernatural experience with God. Seeing her naive, innocent childhood evaporate into thin air as her body quickly begins to show what appeared to be obvious immorality, maybe infidelity, certainly deceit, rather than submission, faithfulness and dedication to God. But through it all, these two innocent people, both Joseph and Mary, stayed faithful to God. When the opposition came against them, they just kept faithful to God. When the criticism floated around in the air, they just kept walking. It's a little important for you to keep walking. In fact, to me, it's very important. Don't stop. When you run into something opposing you, don't stop. Keep going. Keep going. Amen. When you start thinking about church being optional, change your thinking. Stay faithful. Amen. Amen. I cannot tell you, this is not in my notes, but I feel like saying it here. I cannot tell you the number of times people have been going through crises and hard times in the church that I pastored in Billings, Montana. And God, working through his pastor, gave him a Bible study or a sermon meant to encourage and strengthen and bless them. And when I got to the pulpit to preach it, they weren't there. And our pastors can say the same thing, I'm sure. Let me tell you, you need to stay faithful. That very time that you think you can't go is the time God wants to speak to you. The enemy got in your way. Joseph and Mary fighting those little small town battles with small people trying to point out what was happening in their lives. They knew nothing about it. But those guys had heard from angelic messengers and they made up their mind to be faithful. Am I preaching to somebody here tonight? Are you hearing what God's saying to you? I want you to know God's looking for the faithful. And we need to just keep on coming. Amen. Amen. Don't stop coming no matter what happens. No matter where you've been. No matter what goes on in your life. I've been to the point that I have told our folks that your work clothes are honorable in the sight of God. If you don't have time to go home and change them for church, wear them to church. It's more important to be faithful to God than it is to look good. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Mary and Joseph committed themselves and made up their minds to submit and believe and obey his messages. And after those 9 months, listen, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying glory to God in the highest and on earth goodwill toward men. Did that suddenly happen accidentally? No way. No way. It happened when God's people faithful. Faithful. Amen, amen. Now, let me take you back to our original text. Acts 2, 1 and 2, and the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly. Oh, does that say suddenly? Is that what you see? Of course it does. But did it really happen that quickly? Think about it a little bit. See, too often we emphasize the suddenly without remembering the terrible, unjust crucifixion. We don't remember the unbelievable event that followed the triumphant victory of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And don't stop there. Too often we forget about the week or so of continual prayer and seeking God taking place in Jerusalem. You ever prayed for a week? A long time. That's all you're doing. Amen. Doesn't mention the emotional storm that group endured. What do you mean? Well, what they were going through thinned their ranks from thousands to 120. Amen. Notice Acts 1:15 with me. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, number of names together was about 120. You see, the disciples were being called on by Peter to choose someone to take the place of Judas. And he gave a unique list of qualifications for that empty office. In verse 21, and I want you to pay close attention to this. Wherefore of these men, he's choosing somebody to take Judas's place out of all the group that was there. And he said, of these men which have companied with us, speaking of the rest of the disciples, all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. He said, if we find somebody qualified to take Judas's place, we're told, if you want to go back and research it, we're told in the book of Psalms that we should replace him. First of all, first qualification, they must have been with us from the beginning. If you want to know what the beginning was, it tells us in the next verse, from the baptism of John all the way to the ascension. Amen. Verse 21, wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went out and in and out among us. Beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us. Must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection? So he didn't choose the best looking guy there. They didn't choose the one that had the greatest personality. They didn't choose the one that seemed like a good leader. They went back and screened all those guys to find that one that had walked with them and talked with them and obeyed the teachings of Jesus and lived that life from day one until he left this world. That's faithfulness, folks. That's faithfulness. And listen to me. It was after the prayer meeting, the week's prayer meeting, and after they had chosen someone to take Judas's place, then suddenly the Holy Ghost was poured out on the people. God's looking for faithfulness. I really, really, really do appreciate those of you who are faithful to the house of God. Amen. Amen. Because that's qualifications for your suddenly. There's some in here that's been wrestling with problems for a long time. Can't find that solution anywhere. Don't know where to go or what to do. Oh, man. I have to put this in here right here because it is very unusual. Recently, a woman stood behind the pulpit at Calvary Tabernacle in Indianapolis, and she just looked like any one of you women. Just lean. Well-kept, well-spoken. But when she got done, it took about 15 or 20 minutes for her to cover. She had been stricken when she was a teacher in Calvary Elementary School with a nerve condition that twisted her body up, she said, like a pretzel. Like a pretzel. She said she'd bump her head into the wall. She'd fall. She just couldn't contain herself. herself. It got worse and worse until she wound up. I have to be brief because it's quite a lengthy story. But until she finally wound up, twisted all up in a wheelchair. I think she looked all over Indianapolis and no doctor could tell her what was wrong with her. Nobody. They tested her. Said, "We don't know. We don't know." She said, "I got so tired of hearing, we don't know." Finally, she found a neurologist in, I think, Kansas City. I may have some facts wrong here. Just heard it once. But she said, "I found a neurologist that looked at my records and looked at all the tests that I had gathered and went through them. And he said, I know exactly what's wrong with you. And I can do a surgery. But it can only give you at least a 20%, maybe as much as 80% accuracy to fix your problem." She said, "Let's do it." She was so tired of her condition. She said, "Let's do it." She went through the surgery. There were some complications. She caught an infection of something afterwards and had to deal with that. It took a while for her to get over it. But anyhow, they implanted a lot of nerve endings somewhere in her head. And several places in her head, and they were supposed to hook her up and turn it on, and she was supposed to get some movement back in her body. 20 to 80%, 80% is the most. And the doctor even added the qualifying factor, it might not work on you. But she went through with it. And she walked back in after she got past her infection and sat down. And they hooked her up. And she, no, she didn't get 20% of her movement back. She didn't get 40 or 60%. She didn't even get 80%. She was walked out of that under her own power, 100%, or 99 or whatever you call it, 100%. But she never lost her faith in God. She said, "I don't want anybody to think I'm boasting, but nurses and doctors walked out with me every time I left the hospital because I was always positive and praising God and giving God the glory. And it was the prayers of God's people who made that successful." Before she asked, one of the doctors, I believe, she said, "What was the most success you've ever had with this surgery?" They said, "You're it. We have never seen that before." Hallelujah. Say, "Well, Brother Russell, you've been supposed to be lifting up Jesus here tonight." I am. Because in my mind, we need a few more examples of the abilities of God joined together with the power, the abilities of man joined together with the powers of God. So we can all give God the glory. And we can all lift Him up and magnify Him and worship Him and give Him praise. I'm going to tell you where I am. I fully believe that I'm at the point with the Pentecostal movement that anything could happen. Anything. If we'll just give God all the glory. Not worry about what they think about us. I don't care what anybody thinks anymore. I just want to give God the praise. I want to magnify Him and lift Him up and worship Him. Amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. So, in order to be considered to take the place of the fallen disciple, we must be faithful. You must have been with the followers of Jesus. I'm still talking about being a disciple, an apostle. From the beginning of his ministry, from the baptism of John and all that, then suddenly came the sound from heaven. Okay. I'm about done. But I want you to bear with me tonight. So I'm going to get just a little personal. This is the truth. Purpose Institute compliments my teaching simply because I tell good stories. But let me tell you this. They are true stories. Don't fool around with what could be, might be, should have been. Something way from the past. In 1957, I had about got to the end of my rope. Finished high school. At 18, I registered with Uncle Sam. Korean War was going. And they tried to get me to volunteer. I really didn't want to stay 3 years, so I wouldn't volunteer. But while I was at home, and classified as 1A, I couldn't get a decent job. All I could get was a few odd jobs here and there, helping a few carpenters, whatever. And I just about run out of hope. I wasn't raised in the church. I did not have the Holy Ghost. I did not know the truth. But I was sitting in our country farmhouse, one of those old houses, with cracks in the walls and no insulation. And I had two brothers and two sisters and mom and dad, all of us. There was no privacy. So I was hungry for God. I didn't know God, but I was hungry for Him. I'd gone to the Pentecostal church before a few times, but I was already saved, according to me. And so I said, well, I've got to find God in all of this. No hope. So I went out in the middle of our pasture on the farm at home. We had a few small hills out there. We called them Indian Knolls, K-N-O-L-L-S, little hillocks. I think it's where they used to gather and worship in some way. I don't know. Never saw them use them. But I got up on one of those Indian Knolls and I began to talk to God. I didn't know how to pray. I just talked to Him like I talk to you. And I began to sing. I ran out of words. You know, denominational church people do short prayers. And if they tell you they're praying for you, they don't say at all they're praying. They say, we're thinking about you. Okay. At any rate, I started singing those old songs from the past. Nearer, my God, to Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Draw me nearer, Lord. That's what I was reaching for. I was hungry for God. Draw me nearer, God. Wound up singing, How Great Thou Art. In the middle of singing that classic hymn, something came over. My knees got weak. I fell to my knees. The next thing I knew, I was flat on my back. And when I came to, I was speaking in a language I couldn't understand. Hallelujah. 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 And I lay there and spoke in tongues for a long time. I have no idea how long. Long time. I praised and worshiped God. I got up off that hill and I walked back to the house with purpose, fully in touch with God. A couple of weeks went by and a job that I had applied for a month or two before and had given up on hearing from came open. They sent for me and I had a job. Within 6 months, I married my sweet wife. Amen. And I want to tell you something. I have never looked back since. Is anybody hearing me? I'm not bragging. I am just stating a fact. Listen, let me tell you this. I am a man just like anybody else. I am just as weak as any man. I have temptations and problems and worries and cares and temptations. What do you do with temptations? Ah, you resist them. Yeah, but if you're in the middle of it, you know what I found out? God always provides a way out. If you'll just stay faithful. If you'll stay faithful. If you'll stay faithful. I don't care how bad the storm is. I don't care how rough it gets. I don't care what goes on. If you'll stay faithful to God, there is another side. And you can make it to the other side. Hallelujah. 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 The singers can come. But I got one more thing to tell you because this connects with what I said. A couple of years ago, I think it was for Father's Day, my daughter Vicky sent me a card and said something in it that hit me right here. She said, "Dear Dad, I am so glad you were faithful to my mom." Hallelujah. And just today, as I was mulling this over and thinking about this, I said, I've got to say this. Because I didn't realize it. Being faithful to my wife, I thought, only hurt her if I wasn't faithful. But it's a whole lot bigger than that. It hurts my daughter. It hurts my son-in-law. It's the wrong example for my grandchildren and their mates. It hurts the people that I tried to pastor and the church that I pastored for 38 years and the district that I superintended for 29 of those years. See, you don't know what sin does. The devil is working on every mind in here trying to tell you you can do anything you're big enough to do. But God says, if you want some good suddenlies in your life, you need to be faithful. You need to be faithful. Hallelujah. 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 So if those in the prayer team will come, done. But I do want to say to you, if you've never received the Holy Ghost, come down right over here. The people who are coming will pray with you. You can have this. Do you hear me talking about that experience out there on that little hill? You believe me, that changed my life. And God wants to change yours. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, you need it now. Right here, right now. God has a suddenly right here for you. He has it for you. If you have a sickness or a disease in your body that won't go away, come down over here and somebody here will pray for you. If you have other needs, come down this middle aisle as they turn and face toward you and come down and let them. Tell them what's wrong with you. Will you stand with us? Will you stand? Don't just stand. Stand and move. Come out and come on down. Amen. See what God will do for you. You want to suddenly, He has one for you. Let me tell you how to get it. You can't get it by faithfully following Him in the past. But if you'll commit to Him tonight, that you're going to commit yourself to God and follow Him, He will touch you. He will reassure you. He'll validate it. He'll fill you with His Spirit. You need a fresh refill? Come on down. Let God renew you. Fill you with His Spirit tonight. Come on, that's beautiful. Don't hesitate. Step out from where you are. Come get what God wants you to have tonight. Come on, let's lift our hands and extend our hands to these who are coming for prayer. Let's pray that God would touch. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God.
My Redeemer and Defender.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Our great and mighty Savior. There's no one higher than you. You are always with us, gracious to forgive us.
Praise God.
By
find our way on down to the front. There are people here that will pray with you.
Lord, we stand amazed.
Come on down to the front. Resubmit your heart to God. Re-give yourself to Him.
Astounded by your mercy and love. And our hands are lifted high in surrender.
I love you, God. I worship you, God.
Your grace for me is always enough.
I praise you, God. Yes, Lord.
And there is no one higher than our God.
God, you're so wonderful. God, you're so mighty.
There is no one greater than you.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Let my life forever praise.
My Jesus.
The glory of your name.
My Lord.
There is no one higher than you.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, what a great God. Oh, what a great God. What a great God.
Your beauty, your splendor, your glory knows no measure. There's no one higher than you.
I worship you, God.
You are always with us.
I give myself to you, Lord.
Gracious to forgive us. By your power we've been set free.
I love you, God.
Lord, we stand amazed in your presence. Astounded by your mercy and love. Our hands are lifted high in surrender. Your grace for me is always enough.
Oh,
there is no one higher than our God.
Yes, God.
There is no one greater than you.
Oh, what a great God. What a great God.
Let my life
forever
praise.
That's it. Determined to be faithful to Him.
There is no one higher.